Welcome to Zichron Daf Sim Mani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Sechur Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Dal. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis stated that if one carries a live person on a bed, he is exempt for carrying the person and even for taking out the bed, because the bed is secondary to the person. The Gemara tends to prove that this is the minority opinion of Rabbi Nassim, based on a brayse that taught that if one carried out animals into Rishus Rabim, either dead or alive, one is liable. Rabbi Nassim, however, disagrees and says that although one is liable for carrying a dead animal, he is exempt for carrying a living animal, Shachai knows that Satsmo, because a living creature supports its own weight. This is like our case in the Mishnah of carrying a live person on a bed. Rava says that it's possible that the Rabban also hold that in regards to a person, Achai knows that Satsmo, and they only disagree with Rabbi Nassim in the case of animals, because animals stiffen themselves to try to escape, and as Rashi explains, they actually feel heavier. Therefore, they cannot be considered as if they carry themselves. Point number two, if a Metzor plucked out one of two white hairs in the afflicted area of his skin to prevent himself from being declared Tame, he has transgressed a negative commandment. There's a Malchukas Amorim regarding a case where a Metzor plucked out one of three white hairs in the afflicted area of his skin. Rav Nachman holds that he is liable because his action is potentially consequential. For if one more hair becomes removed, the tumor will depart. Rav Shesha said that he's not liable since the tumor is still present with the two remaining hairs. Therefore, the act was inconsequential. And point number three, it was taught in the Mende Brisa that Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that fingernails or cuticles that have become detached most of the way may be removed by hand, but is rabbinically forbidden to be done with an instrument. If they do not become detached most of the way, then removing them by hand is rabbinically forbidden, and removing them with an instrument would make one liable to bring a chatas. Rabbi Barachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that removing them is only allowed where the cuticles have become detached toward the top of the finger and are peeling back toward the base of the nail, because this causes considerable pain. So once again, the three points are number one. The Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis stated that if one carries a live person on a bed, he is exempt for carrying the person and even for taking out the bed, because the bed is secondary to the person. The Gemara tends to prove that this is the minority opinion of Rabbi Nassim, based on a brayse that taught that if one carried out animals into Rishus Rabim, either dead or alive, one is liable. Rabbi Nassim, however, disagrees and says that although one is liable for carrying a dead animal, he is exempt for carrying a living animal, Shachai knows that Satsmo, because a living creature supports its own weight. This is like our case in the Mishnah of carrying a live person on a bed. Rava says that it's possible that the Rabbanan also hold that in regards to a person, Achai knows that Satsmo, and they only disagree with Rabbi Nassim in the case of animals, because animals stiffen themselves to try to escape, and as Rashi explains, they actually feel heavier. Therefore, they cannot be considered as if they carry themselves. Point number two, if a Metzor plucked out one of two white hairs in the afflicted area of his skin to prevent himself from being declared Tame, he has transgressed a negative commandment. Now, there's Malchokas and Marayim regarding a case where a Metzor plucked out one of three white hairs in the afflicted area of his skin. Rav Nachman holds that he's liable because his action is potentially consequential. For if one more hair becomes removed, the tumor will depart. Rav Shesha said that he's not liable since the tumor is still present with the two remaining white hairs. Therefore, the act was inconsequential. And point number three, it was taught in an amended brisa that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that fingernails or cuticles that become detached most of the way may be removed by hand, but it is rabbinically forbidden to be done with an instrument. If they do not become detached most of the way, then removing them by hand is rabbinically forbidden, and removing them with an instrument would make one liable to bring a chatas. Rabbi Barachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that removing them is only allowed where the cuticles have become detached toward the top of the finger and are peeling back toward the base of the nail, because this causes considerable pain. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Tzadi Dalet, and in this case, most people suggested either hunter or trapper because of tzad, so we're going to go with the hunter here. So here goes. The hunter was having a rough day when he dropped the live squirrel he was carrying because it felt so heavy, plucking out one of its three white hairs, which got snagged on his partially detached fingernail. Once again, in slow motion. The hunter, that means Ron Duff, Tzadi Dalet. The hunter was having a rough day when he dropped the live squirrel he was carrying because it felt so heavy, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis stated that if one carries a live person on a bed, he's exempt for carrying the person and even for taking out the bed because the bed is secondary to the person. The Gemara tends to prove that this is the minority opinion of Rabbi Nassim based on a brayse that taught that if one carried out animals into Rishus HaRabim, either dead or alive, one is liable. Rabbi Nassim, however, disagrees and says that although one is liable for carrying a dead animal, he's exempt for carrying a living animal, Shachai knows it's that smoke, because a living creature supports its own weight. This is like our case in the Mishnah of carrying a live person on a bed. Rava says that it's possible that the Rabbanan also hold that in regards to a person, Achai knows that tzatzmo, and they only disagree with Rabbi Nassin in the case of animals, because animals stiffen themselves to try to escape, and as Rashi explains, they actually feel heavier. Therefore, they cannot be considered as if they carry themselves. So the hunter was having a rough day when he dropped the live squirrel he was carrying because it felt so heavy, plucking out one of its three white hairs, which reminds us, if a Metzor plucked out one of two white hairs in the afflicted area of his skin to prevent himself from being declared Tameh, he has transgressed a negative commandment. There's a Malchukas and Marayim regarding a case where a Metzor plucked out one of three white hairs in the afflicted area of his skin. Rav Nachman holds that he's liable because his action is potentially consequential, for if one more hair becomes removed, the tumor will depart. Rav Shesha said that he's not liable since the tumor is still present with the two remaining white hairs. Therefore, the act was inconsequential. So the hunter was having a rough day when he dropped the live squirrel he was carrying because it felt so heavy, plucking out one of its three white hairs, which got snagged on his partially detached fingernail, which reminds us, it was taught in an amendment of Brisa that Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that fingernails or cuticles that have become detached most of the way may be removed by hand, but it is rabbinically forbidden to be done with an instrument. If they did not become detached most of the way, then removing them by hand is rabbinically forbidden, and removing them with an instrument would make them liable to bring a chatas. Rabbi Barachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that removing them is only allowed where the cuticles have become detached toward the top of the finger and are peeling back toward the base of the nail, because this causes considerable pain. So once again, the hunter was having a rough day when he dropped the live squirrel he was carrying because it felt so heavy, plucking out one of its three white hairs, which got snagged on his partially detached fingernail. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazorah. Daf Tzadik. So the sim for Daf Tzadik is a tzedakah box of Pushka. So here goes. The little boy who put some coins in a peddler box he used for tzedakah box, that means we're on Daf Tzadik. The little boy who put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah, which reminds us, the second mission on the Daf states that if one carries out a peddler's box, a kupas or rochin on Shabbos, he's only liable for one chatas, even though there are many different spices placed in the box. Rashi explains that these peddlers sold perfumes and fragrant spices to women, and their boxes contain many smaller boxes, each with its small bundles of spices. Even though carrying out the box results in the transfer of many different types of spices, it's still viewed as a single act of carrying. So the little boy put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah after giving a moving eulogy over the death of his non-kosher locust, which reminds us, there's a machlokes in the Mishnah regarding transferring locusts. The Tanakhama holds that one is liable for taking out a live kosher locust of any size because one would give it to a child to play with. If it's dead, it has the status of food, and it needs to be the size of a gogeras. Rav Yehuda holds that one is even liable for taking out a live non-kosher locust, whatever its size, since people store it for their child to play with. The Gemara explains that the Tanakhama holds that people will not store live non-kosher locusts for the kids out of concern that if the locust would die, the child would eat it. Therefore, one is only liable for transferring them if they have a minimum shear. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that if the locust will die, the child will eulogize it, not eat it. Therefore, people will store live non-kosher locusts, and one is liable for transferring regardless of its size. So the little boy put some coins in a peddler's box he used for tzedakah after giving a moving eulogy over the death of his non-kosher locust, was so distraught he couldn't remember why he carried the single seed into Rosh Hashanah. Which reminds us, the first mishnah of the 10th Berg states that if one stored a minute amount of a substance for a particular purpose, such as a seed for planting, then one is liable for taking out this minute amount. Abai explains that the mishnah's case is where a person stored the item for a designated use and then forgot what he stored it for. One might have thought that if he then carried out a minimal amount of the item into Rosh Hashanah, his original intent would be nullified and he would be exempt from a chatas. The Tana is therefore coming to teach us, kol osa al das vishonu osa. Anyone who does something without specific intention is presumed to be doing it based on his original intent. Therefore, the item retains its significance and the person is liable. Dav tzadi'ov. So the simple tzadi'ov is a security guard by the exit sign. The grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign. Security guard by an exit sign. That means we're on Dav tzadi'ov. The grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign reminded customers on their way out they could change their mind and plant certain foods, which reminds us, Rava said in the name of Nachman, that if one took out a quantity of produce, the signs of a gregarious to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with the purpose of eating it there, and before placing it down, he changed his mind and decided to plant it, or vice versa, he's liable for transferring. The Gemara clarifies that one might have thought, be'inan akir v'hanacha b'chada machshava, the picking up and the placing down of the object must be done with the same intent. Therefore, if Nachman teaches, there is no such requirement. So the grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign reminded customers on their way out they could change their mind and plant certain foods and recommended they keep the vegetables at 10 to shrink. Which reminds us, Rava asks if one would be liable if he took out a quantity of produce the size of a gregarious to Rishus Rabim, and then during mid-transfer it shrank in size, and therefore at that point he would not be liable if he put it down, and then swelled again that at the time the person placed it down, it was the size of a gregarious. Rava's question is whether Yesh Dichui in Shabbos or Ain Dichui in Shabbos. Is the principle of negation operative in Shabbos laws or not? In other words, does the fact that there was a moment during the transfer when the produce shrank to be smaller than the necessary size void the original Akira and negate the obligation to bring a chattas? The Gemara leaves the question as a teku. So the grocery store security guard standing by the exit sign reminded customers on their way out they could change their mind and plant certain foods and recommended they keep the vegetables that tend to shrink bonded in a basket full of cucumbers, not mustard seed. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one takes out a basket filled with the produce from his house and places it on the outer threshold, even if most of the produce is in the Rishus of Rabim, the person is exempt from bringing a chattas, since some of the produce is still in the Rishus of Yachid. Chizkiah says that the Mishnah is referring to a basket full of cucumbers and gourds, but in the case of mustard seeds, he would be liable. Rashi explains that cucumbers and gourds span the length of the basket, and therefore no single unit has been fully transferred, whereas, in the case of mustard seeds, some of the seeds would be resting completely in Rishus of Rabim. The Gemara explains that Chizkiah holds Eged Kli Loshme Eged. The bond of the vessel is not recognized as a bond. It doesn't make the mustard seeds as they're still bonded to the Rishus Yachid. Rav Yochanan says that even in the case of mustard seeds, one is exempt. The Gemara explains that Rav Yochanan holds Eged Kli Shme Eged. Daf Tzadi Beis. So the symbol for Tzadi Beis is a turtle. So the victorious turtle, that means we're on Daf Tzadi Beis. The victorious turtle held his trophy high above 10 tefachim in Rishus of Rabim, which reminds us. The next mission of the Perek states that one is only liable for carrying if one carried in a normal manner. Included in the list of normal forms of carrying is carrying on one's shoulders, for that is how B'nai Kahas carried the kelim of the Mishkan. Rabbi Elazar learns from the carrying of B'nai Kahas, who carried the kelim at a height of more than 10 tefachim from the ground, that if one transfers a load from one rishus to another by hand and keeps it in the air more than 10 tefachim above the ground, that he is liable. Rashi explains that even though 10 tefachim above Rishus of Rabim is considered a makom patur, and if one were to throw an object in Rishus Rabim and it got stuck on the side of the wall 10 tefachim above the ground, he would be exempt. In this case, he's liable because this is the way B'nai Kahas transported the kelim. So the victorious turtle held his trophy high above 10 tefachim in Rishus of Rabim and guarded his winnings in front of him, which reminds us, the following Mishnah states that if one intended to take an object in front of him, but in mid-transfer it slipped behind him, he is exempt. However, if he intended to take the object out behind him and it slipped in front of him, he is liable. Rav explains that in the first case, when the person carried the object out in front of him, his intent was a good shmir, to guard it well. Since it slipped behind him, it was guarded poorly. Since his initial machshava, his thought was not fulfilled, Rashi says it's a case of misasek. In the second case, where the person carried out an object behind him, he only intended a minimal guarding. When it slipped in front, it resulted in even better guarding, making him liable since he was pleased with the result. So the victorious turtle held his trophy high above 10 tefachim in Rishus Rabim and guarded his winnings in front of him, while the defeated rabbit carried a massive carrot home together with his friend. Which reminds us, the following Mishnah introduces a Machlokas Tanaim in a case where two people carry out an object that neither individual could carry alone. The Tanakhama holds that they are both liable. Rabbi Shimon says they are both exempt. The Gemara brings up Braisa that states that if one person was capable of carrying the object alone and the other one was not capable, then everyone will agree that he is liable. The Gemara on Daf Tzadik Gimel will clarify which one is liable. Daf Tzadik Gimel. So the symbol of Tzadik Gimel is a chugga chugga choo choo train. So here goes. The little train, that means we're on Daf Tzadik Gimel. The little train that pushed the big train up the mountain was insulted when it was called Amir Misayeya, which reminds us. Rav Chisda stated that in a case where two people carrying an object into a Shusarabim, and one was strong enough to carry it by himself and the other was not, then the one who was able to carry it by himself is liable since he accomplished the entire action, and the one who was unable is exempt since he didn't accomplish anything. When Rav Hamnuna suggested the weaker person was a masayeya, an aid to the stronger person, Rav Chisda responded, masayeya ein bo mamish, merely aiding someone is not significant. The Gemara brings a number of proofs that support Rav Chisda's view, the final one being that if a kohen is mekabel dam, he receives blood of an offering using his right hand, and his left hand aids his right hand in holding the kli, the avoda is valid. Even though an avoda that is done with the left hand is invalid, in this case it was merely a misayeya, which is insignificant. So the little train that pushed the big train up the mountain was insulted when it was called a mere misayeya. So it crashed through the door the two men were holding to trap a deer, which reminds us the Braisa on Tzadi Beis Amud Beis says that according to Rabbi Meir, if two people carried out an object together and they both were strong enough to carry out individually, they are still both liable. The Gemara asks if they individually need to carry out one full shear, or is one full shear sufficient to make them both liable? The Gemara brings a number of proofs to support the opinion that only one full shear is required. One proof is from a Mishnah that states, if a deer entered a house and two people who are both capable individually of closing the door close the door together, then they are both liable for the malach of trapping. From the fact that the Mishnah does not require each of them to trap a full measure indicates that one full measure is sufficient for the two of them. So the little train that pushed the big train up the mountain was insulted when it was called a Mir Masayeya. So it crashed through the door two men were holding to trap a deer and went back to pulling a kli, carrying a little pea. Which reminds us, the next mission of the Perek states that if one transfers food that is less than the required shear in a kli, the person is exempt from carrying even the kli, since a kli tefelelo. The kli is secondary to the food. The Miri explains that since the kli is a mere accessory, it's subordinate to the food, and since there's no liability for the primary object, there's no liability for the subordinate object. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that a kli is tafel to the object that it carries? That's on daf Tzadikimo. Good. Number 2. Which daf does Moshe explain to the Malachim why the Torah was given to man? That's on daf Peches. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have a question whether a Metzorah, when he plucks one of 3 white hairs, whether that act is considered consequential? That's on daf Sadi Dalit. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a Malchokas, whether Eged Kli Shmei Eged? That's on daf Sadi Olav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have one is Chai for carrying an object above 10 Tfachim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? That's on daf Sadi Beis. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have that the first of Nisan has a Sarah Taro's 10 crowns? That's on daf Hey Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we discuss whether one is allowed to remove a partially detached fingernail or cuticle? That's on daf Tzadidala. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we discuss a kupas arochim, a peddler's box? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn that a mesayeya ein bo mamish? That's on daf Tzadi Gimel. Good. And finally, number 10, which daf do we discuss shiurim for non-kosher locusts being carried in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? That's on daf Tzadi. Good. And now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Which daf do we learn the brachos for various fragrances? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 2, which daf do we discuss the authorship of the various brachos and birchas of Mazon? That's on daf Memches. Good. And final question number 3. Which daf do we have a malchus learning what the pasuk of the Zayin meaning is coming to teach us? That's on daf Memov. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. Plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichru. Wishing you a great day. Great learning.